she can be found at her new blog. It's not so new anymore, theparentingplayground.com. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Weberman.
Thank you. And I think Therapy Wrap would be a really good name for our segment.
Yes, I actually wrote it down as Therapy Talk, but I like, I have Spiritual Wrap and Therapy Wrap. I think those are just kind of better. But anyway, I'm not surprised that you prepared some tips and ideas and thoughts and points for parents in regards to our change subject. You are always very good on the fly, and I appreciate that. So let's jump right in. And what words of wisdom do you have to offer parents and others as we grapple with the fallout from the Boston bombings?
Yeah, there are six things that I would like to get through today in our segment. And I think that so many of the parents who have, you know, young children are wondering, how do you explain these kinds of things to children? How do you help them cope with what they're being exposed to at school and in the media? And it's something that we as adults are struggling to deal with, and how do we help our children? And so one of the things that I want to say first is that when these things first happen, and we're talking about something that happened on Monday, but sometimes there's going to be something else that happens in the news. When it first happens, your children have questions about it, first ask them what they know about it.
Mm.
It helps you get a sense of where you're starting from so you can tailor your answer to their level of understanding. Sometimes we as adults over-intellectualize things. We explain things on a level that children aren't ready for, so it's important to keep in mind their age and developmental level. Plus, by asking them what they already know, it gives us a chance to correct any misinformation that they may have. And especially the younger the child, the more likely they are to misinterpret things that they hear.
Or be told misinformation by their friends.
Oh, of course.
Right, right.
It reminds me very much of at the Passover Seder, where we talk about the four sons, you know, the wicked son and the simple son. The idea is that based on how they ask, you then as a parent tailor your answer. And it's the same premise here. Once you do get their explanation of what they know, now it's time for you to answer their question. And I said, you know, match it to their age and developmental level. With younger kids, you want to keep the answer as simple as possible and just emphasize their safety and that there are adults around them that can keep them safe. You want to really do that with little kids. They commonly overestimate their chance of something bad happening to them or to someone that they love after they hear about a tragedy. So if something happens in a building, they're going to think that if you walk into a building, something will happen. Or if it happens on the sidewalk, then the sidewalks are dangerous. So it's really important for them to understand that they're safe. As the child gets a little bit older, we're talking about late elementary and then into middle school, the older child is, the more details they're going to want. But again, being very careful with the details, spare them the graphic stuff, the gory stuff, but just answering things. But the older the child is, the more likely that they're going to have opinions about what happened and they're going to want to share their thoughts and feelings about what happened. Just have an open dialogue. You just allow them the freedom and the space to express their feelings and be okay with their feelings without making them sort of filter themselves. Or as parents try to talk their kids out of their feelings because they don't want them to be upset.
Yes, it's very hard to invalidate someone's feelings. You know, whenever I very rarely have an argument with my wife, and I go, "You're wrong," and she'll say to me, "You can't tell me I'm wrong. I feel this way."
And yeah, it's a feeling.
Yes,
you can't
it's
be
not a right or
logic.
Wrong. I mean, you can try to ease the feeling, but it is a feeling. How important is the truth to the kids? I mean, even when it's a dark and ugly truth.
I think that the motto for that is to share, not scare.
Okay,
so
good.
You don't want to have to lie to them. Kids are savvy,
yes,
and they're
going
to find
point.
Out from somebody else if you're not being honest with them. But that doesn't mean by being honest, you have to tell them everything there is to tell, because it's too scary and overwhelming.
Okay, good. Point number three.
With young kids, you want to expect that they may regress a little bit if they're being affected by the tragedy. But just know that that's normal and that's expected, and it doesn't necessarily mean something is bad, but it is how they deal with it. So they might be a little bit more clingy. There might be some more bedtime anxieties that resurface that maybe went away for a period of time. You just want to try to be really consistent with the routines at home, because for kids, routines is an indicator of safety and normalcy.
You bet.
But give lots of extra hugs and extra reassurance, and maybe make bedtime a little bit longer, you know, more snuggle time. so that they have that reassurance and that safety.
Before you go on, I think I want to hit that point again, which is be aware that this may happen. So consciously be on the lookout. So don't just go about your life as if nothing's happened and think the same is for them, because the impact on them, from what you're telling me, is obviously can be, depending on the kid, much, much stronger. So let's move on with number four.
Number four, turn off the TV. Don't watch the news. And this is important to understand for little kids. It's not just because the news is sad, but what the news does is they keep replaying the same scene over and over again. And for young children, it makes it look like the event is happening over and over again, which magnifies the intensity of it in their minds. They don't understand that. And it's just depressing. So turn off the TV and put something else on. Number five, don't be alarmed if your child draws or writes or plays out what happened in the tragedy. So if after a terrorist attack, your child starts playing terrorist with his rescue toys, that's okay. For some parents, they get really creeped out by that, and they're like, why would you want to play that? That's horrible. That's actually how children work through what happened. It takes something that's scary and it makes it less real by putting it into play. And it also gives them like a sense of control over it, because now they have mastery over something that was scary because they're controlling the play. And it just helps them sort of process it. If you see something that's really concerning you, or they're sort of stuck in a certain kind of play and they can't get out of it, contact a child psychologist for a consultation. But most of the time, this is just how they're healthy coping.
That is really, really, really important to know. That was kind of new to me. Thank you for that. Go on.
We have
one more, right?
Yeah, we have one more. Children take their coping cues from the adults around them. And Bruce, you and I have talked about modeling so often in this segment, and it's, you know, just as easily applied here. It's important to be aware of how you're acting and speaking about the tragedy in front of your kids. So what I'm hearing a lot of people say is, what a terrible, unsafe world we're raising our children in. And if your children are hearing you say that, even if you're saying it on the phone to someone else, you're not saying it to your children, the message, they're going to take that to heart, that the world is unsafe and the adults can't protect me. And it's frightening for children. It reminds me, did you see the movie in the 1980s, the kids' movie called The Neverending Story?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you remember the idea of the nothing? The nothing is this despair that was destroying Fantasia. And the more people got upset, the stronger the nothing became, and then the more it destroyed. I kind of feel like that's what we're going through.
That's a good analogy.
Right now, especially on the East Coast. You know, we had the hurricane, then we had the school shooting, and then we had the Boston bombing. All very close together in time and in geography. And there's sort of this global feeling of despair lingering in the air. Don't let that into your home. If you're needing to feel empowered over what's going on, there are so many ways that you can do that, like donating your time or money to a cause, and you can do it as a family. I kind of like the Who's in Whoville and how they responded to the Grinch as a really good model for how your family can respond to tragedy, is that it's about celebrating life and being with the ones that you love and holding them tight and telling them how much you love them, as opposed to drowning in the sorrow.
So, you know, one of the things you mentioned was turn off the news or turn off the TV, which obviously I agree with. I actually strongly believe that young kids don't need much TV at all, and it should probably only be a monitor. But what about, you know, just having a family night of watching a fun Disney movie in place of it? So they're just, maybe get everybody just to laugh a little bit.
Yeah, when I say, and I should be specific, when I say turn off the TV, I mean because every time there's a live television show going on, the commercial breaks will sometimes refer to news coverage that's coming up. So if you can put on something like a video or something that you've DVR'd that you know is safe, that's fine. TV itself is not what I'm concerned about. It's the content.
Right, right. I just wanted to clarify that, because I thought that was... Okay, I'm going to ask you publicly and see if I could put you, nail you down. I really want to do a blog about this and include all the posts and put it on my website. So will you craft one and we do it together?
That would be wonderful. I know we said that a couple of segments ago, but
this is important. If you do like a first round with your 6 points, obviously you could post it on yours too. But this is important. We should get this information out, and I know you'll bring it to Dad Chat tonight. Very, very interesting. Any other thoughts you have on a personal basis or anything else you'd like to share? How much time do we have left, Richard? We got a minute left, so we're nearly out of time.
There's something going around on Facebook right now. It's a popular quote from Mr. Rogers, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically the message is for small children to point out the helpers that you see surface during a time of tragedy. And I think it's really beautiful, and it's something also to think about is anytime you see a tragedy, there's always rescue personnel going, or there's always people doing kind things or doing things to put positive energy into the world. And I think pointing that out to children is a nice message. It's a good way to end our segment.
Wow. Great segment, Dr. Jennifer. I appreciate it so much. So people, we can find you at theparentingplayground.com, correct?
Correct. And I'm on Twitter as dr_Weberman. And we have a Facebook page for the Parenting Playground, too.
Okay, excellent. And I look forward to collaborating with you on this column, hopefully seeing you at Dad Chat tonight. And thank you so much for a very important segment.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. We'll be back for some closing remarks after these messages.